West part of Africa, and I met Pastor Paul in Ghana when I was in a Bible school. He came there and taught in 2011, and I came to the state, West Virginia, went to Appalachian Bible College, and I graduated from there with a pastoral major, and my second major was theology. So my vision is to go back home in Africa and train men. Some of you that had a chance to travel overseas and hear the way the gospel is preached, we have a lot to do. So God laid it on my heart to, you know, study more so that I can go and equip. And in Africa, it's a big deal. When you look young like me, before you can teach, then they have to know that indeed you went to school. So it's not that I really love studies, but it's good. Jesus trained his men before they went on to teach people. This morning, we'll go ahead quickly. The two pastors, Pastor Paul and Pastor Dan, have been preaching the book of Colossians before I came in. And in the book of that book, I'll be speaking on chapter 4. And I do believe that several of you got a message, and you have been reading that passage before this Sunday. The background of the book, the author of the book is Paul, Apostle Paul, we know that, and the type of the book is a letter. And in chapter 1, he explained the faith and thanks them for the faith that they have. In chapter 2, Apostle Paul emphasized two major points. They live in Christ, verse 6 of chapter 2, and the freedom from human regulation, verse 8 of chapter 2, were the major point. And one of the pastors covered that. In chapter 3, our heart on the things above. And we remember that Matthew 6:33 talk about that. You know, we should seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I have to remind myself on a regular basis that verse, because you have a lot going on in your life, pulling you from right and left. But Paul wants them to have their mind on the things about, pretty much about that chapter. And he continued to chapter 4, verse 1, about love and submission, how husbands should treat their wives and how wives should submit themselves to their husband. In a contrast with arrogance and pride, and where is love? There shouldn't be arrogance or pride, because love, it's higher than pride, actually. And today, I'll be with you in chapter 4 from verse 2 to verse 6. And the title of the message is Divine Instruction on Command. Paul here, he greets this Christian in the Colossia. Of course, they have these two names for the city. I don't know which one goes. But the main point here, he gives them a command. You know, sometimes instruction can be command. And sometimes instruction can be ways that you can do something. When we bought, you know, devices, phone, whatever, it has a user guide into it. And it shows, like, instruction you have to follow so that you can use in a way that the stuff that you bought can be beneficial to you. So, but here, this instruction has to do with a command. Devote yourself to prayer. That's the way Apostle Paul started this verse. Devote yourself to prayer. And so I want that we take a look to this word, devote yourself. The word devote. Pastor Paul asked me, how do you know that, you know, someone is a runner? And I was looking at him in the face and say, he runs. So how do we know that someone devotes, or she devotes himself or herself to prayer? She prays eventually. And when Paul said, devote yourself to prayer, it's not that kind of ritual that the Jews have to pray three times a day, in the morning, noon, and evening. And so if something popped up in my way, I would say, no, this is not my time of prayer. So I have to shift that to when it's to be time for me to pray. I don't think that's the case. Devotion here is earnest desire or earnest adherence to a person or a thing. It's a continual, steadily doing something that you do it on a regular basis. And that's about what Paul is saying about the prayer here. But it doesn't just say, you know, devote yourself as command or instruct them, devote yourself to prayer. In this devotion, they have to do something. Other than that, we say, okay, I should devote myself to prayer. Doing what? Praying about what? It says, by being what? Watchful and thankful. You see that in the verse. Now, we would go step by step. So you see the whole package, what Paul is presenting to these people here. Devote yourself to prayer by being watchful and thankful. So by being watchful, and what that suggests to us, by being watchful, it's a constant spiritual alertness. And this alertness can be either we watch for temptation, be watchful for temptation. It's a kind of, we are like a guard on the wall or on a tower, watching for whatsoever can bring us down. There are a lot of things that are temptation that we need to be watchful for. It could be pornography. It could be shopping. You know, you shop more than what you have and go overdraft. Someone will say it's stupid, yes, but it simply means you are not watchful. We are not selective in our society in the sense that everything that society is presenting us, we just accept it. We are not watchful. And another side of this being watchful is to look around about other people. Everything now in America is about iPad, iPhone, you know. You name it. You know them more than I do. It's about me. And we are not watchful for other people. By being watchful, it's to look around how I can be a blessing to somebody. Actually, you can know that something is going on in someone's life if you're not watchful. Hey, Pastor Dan, how are you doing today?
Good.
I have a barely time to hear, I'm fine or good. Just, you know, how are you doing? And I'm off. We say, but we don't mean it. But we cannot be watchful that way. Another point here is that we should be thankful. We are very thankful to hear news that she's expecting. It's very good. What about the loss of a dear one in a family? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. This will be the name of the Lord. It's really hard for us as believers to take it, or to be thankful in everything. And it's a part of us. But Paul is telling them to be thankful. And even here, what that, to be thankful for what? Yeah, I know. You know, my grandkids are coming over, or this is going on, I have this, I bought a new car, I got this project done. I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for, and we cover with a lot of stuff here. But I do believe that we can be thankful for our salvation. You know, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." So a very clear way we can be thankful to God is to make known his deed among the people. Either it's good that as we expecting it, or bad as we did not expect it to be, even when the table turned around. So thankful among the people. Can I share with the people how I came to know Christ and be thankful for that? I do believe it's to be thankful for God about it. People don't get it. They don't know. I mean, what does it mean to be saved? Your co-workers, where you work, people that you share your life with, I mean, where you shop, where you go, you can be thankful. Probably not with some project you get done, but how you came to know Christ. Share with them. You know what? I'm thankful for God that I'm saved. I say, what? What are you talking about? And then you go on, you tell the person. So, you know, he can throw it away, or he can take a time to listen to it. and may make a change in his life. After all, it belongs to God to bring them to Christ, not us. Our duty is to be thankful by sharing with other people what God did in our life. In a verse 4 to verse 5, Apostle Paul asked for them to pray for them, and he asked also for open door. In fact, I'm not going to ask you how many of you pray for Pastor Paul, Pastor Dan. That's not the point here. But based on the Bible, people who share the word of God with us should be part of our prayer list. And I know that you do it here at Grace Bible. But it's just an encouragement that we don't know what they do in their personal life, the kind of ministry. I was in the West Virginia Appalachian Bible College. And one day our president said, you know, do you want to go to basketball game? I said, sure. So we went. And he has several young men that he's sharing the word of God with. I was surprised because he has a busy life. He travels all around America, outside of America. And he has a lot going on, teaching in New York and Appalachian Bible College. I didn't know that he has a time to do personal evangelism with the boys around this country playing basketball. So they do a lot that we are not aware of. They don't have to share it as a kind of, you know, showing off, but it will be good if we pray with them. Now, open door here means opportunity. And I do believe that as a church, we should be praying for open doors where we can share Christ with other people, where we can give a book to someone to read. And then went over with the person, what did you read? What question do you have? Hand out Bible tract to people. We don't need to hunt people with Jesus Christ, but we just need to share with them what we have. In verse 5 again, it says, live wisely in the world. And he talked about a very word that he said, outsiders. Outsiders. What is outsiders? You know, this word here, he is using a kind of people who are not part of Israel, you know, covenant. But the word he used to this Gentile Colossian is outsider, people who are not believers. Probably people who are not saved, who do not fellowship with us. But we work with them wherever we go and we socialize, you know, with them. And he said we should be watchful the way we live our life before these people. Today, you know, with my social security number, you can do my background check. And you can know some stuff that you want to know. But if you go to where I live, where I work, and you ask about, what do you know about Kasi? Tell me. What will people say about me? What will people say about you? You see, our society, you know, it's like freedom, you know. I can do what I want to do. After all, who cares? I don't care. It's my life. This is our mentality. But as believers, Paul is calling us to be cautious, to be wise. Not that I don't care or who cares. To be watchful. Because there are outsiders surrounding us. They are watching. Someone said, what you do speaks louder than what you say. And it's so true. I've seen over time how things have been done in a secret, but it was on the public screen. We should be wise about how we behave ourselves toward outsiders. It's a very important. People, especially people surrounding us, our neighbors, our co-workers, regular or favorite shopping mall. It's a very important. And make opportunity of wherever we go. People do not. When I came in America, January 2012, I want to get my phone, and I went to AT&T? And because the phone I was using in Ghana has AT&T. So I don't know that it was American company phone. And I went to Martinsburg in West Virginia. And I went to the guy and you know, I start talking with him, and he say, you know what? You don't speak about those stuff here. Then I say, what? So I turn to Nathaniel and say, what does he mean by those stuff? I'm talking to him about Jesus Christ. And later on, I went, I said, were you offended? I'm sorry if I offended. He said, no, I'm not offended, but, you know, so he can tell by my accent that I'm not from here. So he said, you know, in America, you know, you don't talk about that stuff. I mean, he just kind of feet quenched me. Because I was really hot in Ghana. I mean, children ministry, adult, and our life was full. So I was just looking at the thing, and I said, well, this is the way our country is going. Don't be disappointed. And I looked at the guy. I said, will I apologize? I said, no, there is no way to apologize. I mean, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And later on, I said, okay, I can understand if it's in an office setting or official places, okay. But right now, I am the customer. This is my time. So if I have 15 minutes, I mean, this is serious. Because all this was going through my mind. A part of me is saying that I owe him an apology. A part of me is saying no. Because any question I have about, you know, AT&T or how the service plan, I have to ask that. It's my time. I'm the customer. So, and I'm not using the Bible to preach the whole AT&T office. But he just doesn't want to hear the word of God. But we should take advantage and open door. It belongs to the Holy Spirit, you know, to do that. And another instruction or command he gave them, he said, talk graciously. The last verse, verse 6. Like his Lord, also James, Apostle Paul knew how important the way Christians speak is. You know, Matthew 12:36 talk about that we will be judged about any single word we have uttered at the end. So we should talk graciously. Or when he talked about salt, our speech should be seasoned with the salt. What that supposed, I mean, to mean? People from Israel and Africa can really understand this concept about salt. I was telling Pastor Dan that in Africa, I don't remember a day that salt was not part of my meal. So I was telling him that I do not remember a day that salt is not part of my meal. It's kind of daily diet. You eat salt every day. And people do not have deep freezers, but I mean, I remember my grandma would dip meat, chicken in a very thick, salty water, and it's just there. So we understand what it means, like salt. And probably in America, maybe sweet stuff, it tastes better in your mouth. Salt tastes better in my mouth. And it says, grace is kind of like salt. And grace here is charis. And if he's asking us that our speak, our discourse, or our talk be seasoned with grace, what that's supposed to be? Whatever we say should be accompanied with the grace. And what's grace? Grace is what we have, but we shouldn't have. We do not actually deserve it. We have something that we do not deserve. Or we should have what we deserve, but God did not give it to us. And in fact, when we're talking with the people, when people, you know, ask us some stupid question, yes, we can say that this is the right answer for your question. You know, by not being gracious. But we don't tell people, we don't answer people the way they deserve it. If we can talk graciously. If we can have a grace behind whatever we're saying, it helps us that we don't give people their change back as they bought from us. But it helps us that we reverse what they say and are accompanied with the grace. And tell them. And sometimes people, when they offend you, you know what they were expecting? They are just looking at your next reaction. How are you going to react? We are human. You do that a lot. They do that to see your temper or what you're going to do. What's your next step? And if you react that same way, then you fell into their trap. And Satan will say, yay, I got him. So grace, we should understand that some of the words might not be good in our ears. Some of the speech, we might not like it, even in our fellowship. But our talk, our reply should be seasoned with the grace. And another word also I found for that season with a salt or with grace is, you know, be marked with the purity and wholesomeness. Our talk should be marked with the purity and wholesomeness. And our conversation should be appropriate for each person we talk to. In our society today, there is no different when you are talking to a teacher, when you're talking to a principal, or you're talking to your parent. It's a kind of, you know, the same vocabulary we use all around. But we should talk, you know, graciously. In a Matthew Henry commentary, he says something that I want to read to you. He said, let all discourse be discreet and seasonable, as becomes Christian. Though it be not always of grace, it must always be with grace. Though our discourse be of that which is common, like we use the same word, yet it must be in a Christian manner. Grace is the salt which seasons our discourse and it keeps it from corrupting. You see, the only way you cannot be abusive in your speech, in your discourse, is to be gracious. You take it away, you can yell on your kid, your grandkid, and you know, your friends, because they deserve it. You know, it's what they did after all. They need to be yelled at. But with grace, grace changes everything. A little meal without salt, probably in Israel or in Africa, you can eat it. It's tasteless. We just put a little salt into it. Wow, I love it. Steaks with, salt in it, and it's good. I don't like ribs with the sweet stuff. It doesn't taste good to me. Anyway, but I do eat it. I enjoy it here. Now, what about all this? Paul starts the whole thing by devote yourself unto prayer. And he ended it up with our talk. You realize that when we devote ourselves to prayer, it will help us to be watchful what we see or what we got, what we do. It helps us to be thankful for whatever comes on our way, for the hope, for the despair, for prayer answered and those denied. We'll be thankful for everything. It will help us to live wisely in the eyes of the world. They are just looking at us like, I don't know. They want to see a little mistake to make a whole big deal about it. And so he's calling us to be wise about the way we behave ourselves in the front of outsiders. And then our talk. It bothers me a little bit when people borrow those kind of vocabs from movies and they use them in their daily vocabs. We are Christians. And whatever we say should bring glory to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We give you glory and honor for these instructions and command that Apostle Paul wrote to Christians and Colossians. We pray because these truths are so true about us. And we pray that you help us to live them out. Not to impress anybody, but to strengthen our relationship and fellowship with you. And at this occasion, the moment I'm praying for everyone in this room, especially those who do not know you yet, I pray that you touch their heart to know you and to have fellowship with you. You are our Heavenly Father, but we willingly made ourselves orphans, and we as if we do not have a father. But I pray that anyone's heart you touch, we have the pastors and board members here that they can talk to. Father, help us not to harden our heart when your truth is plain to us. In Jesus' name, amen.